Hello again. You're listening to the News at One. Well, political leaders from across the island and from Britain are in Cavan this lunchtime for a meeting of the British-Irish Interparliamentary Association focusing on trade and the economic impact of Brexit. Today's meeting is taking place, of course, against the backdrop of fast-moving events at Westminster, where candidates for the Conservative Party leadership and thus the job of Prime Minister are due to be confirmed shortly. Last night, Boris Johnson withdrew from the leadership race, leaving Rishi Sunak and Penny Mordaunt as the only candidates to have declared so far. More on all that in just a few minutes. But first, speaking on his way into that meeting in Cavan a short time ago, the Taoiseach said he hoped the new British Prime Minister would move quickly to try to resolve the Northern Ireland Protocol dispute.
Very often it's the degree to which a Prime Minister or political leaders in the North can navigate their constituencies to an agreed solution landing zone. But that said, what I detected from this trust in particular was a desire to get this resolved. And it was made very clear to me that the British government did want to get this resolved through negotiation as the preferred way of doing it. I would like to see that continue under a new British Prime Minister. That sort of idea, that we would sort this out through a negotiated settlement.
Taoiseach Micheál Martin speaking in Cavan this morning. Well, we can talk now to the Northern Ireland Office Minister, Steve Baker. A very good afternoon to you, Mr. Baker, and thanks for taking our call this afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brian. Thank you very much for having me on.
I'm sure, like everyone else, you're following events at Westminster closely. What at this stage, and we'll know fairly soon whether there'll be a contest or not, but what's your expectation for how this is going to end?
Well, we, like you and like your listeners, I'm waiting to find out whether Penny reaches 100 MPs and is nominated. If she's not, then, as you said, Rishi will become Prime Minister later today. I actually hope this now comes to a swift conclusion, because with only, I think it's 31 declared supporters, it would be tricky for Penny, but equally members will want to have their say. But I'm very much hoping that we'll be able to move on swiftly to political stability in the UK and making progress on all of the issues which matter so much to us, including a negotiated settlement on the Northern Ireland Protocol.
So whether the outcome of this leadership contest is known this afternoon or a week from now, will, do you think, a change of Prime Minister, a change in number 10, signal any change in the British government's approach, particularly to the protocol and the outstanding Brexit issues?
I think whether it's Penny or Rishi, they will be completely committed to seeking a negotiated settlement. And Taoiseach and I spoke about it earlier. I'm privileged to meet him and to have the opportunity to discuss these matters. And we're all agreed we want a negotiated solution and to press forward in a way that works for everybody. And I would not expect that to change whoever the Prime Minister is, and indeed whoever the Northern Ireland Office Ministers are.
Even though we know Liz Truss, of course, was the architect of the Northern Ireland Protocol Bill, which seeks to overthrow aspects of the protocol. And Rishi Sunak, it was reported, was very, very concerned about that at Cabinet because of the consequences it could have for the UK economy and for trade relations with the EU. You don't see him as being any softer on the protocol, do you?
Well, he and I have spoken several times over the last 24, 48 hours. And I then subsequently wrote a joint article with Simon Hall, a member of parliament who's known to be sort of on the other end of the spectrum on the European question. And we're all agreed that the current policy that the government has is the right policy. That's to seek a negotiated solution, but to leave the bill before parliament. And if I may say so, one of the reasons that we're making progress together is that we're avoiding talking about our crunchiest issues too much in public. That doesn't mean our red lines have changed. It just means we are all absolutely determined to get into serious negotiations, text on the table, and work our way through this. No one wants to get into a difficult position. We all, or any more difficult position, we would all like to get a negotiated settlement. And in that, I certainly agree with what the Taoiseach said earlier.
Well, one of the crunch issues that you have been talking about is the role of the European Court of Justice in adjudicating on trade disputes in relation to Northern Ireland. And that, you seem to be saying, is something the UK just will not have.
Well, this is one thing where I've tried to play my part in making sure everyone understands the challenges that we face. I'm very conscious that we won't need to avoid an immovable object and an irresistible force coming together. But, you know, the unionist grievance is that the effective status of Northern Ireland has been changed, I think this is how they might put it, by having the jurisdiction of European law continue in Northern Ireland. And I think we, as I've tried to indicate in relation to what I've said about Ireland's interests, we all need to just listen very, very carefully to one another when we state our legitimate interests and try and find a way through this puzzle, which is going to work for everyone. So, because I really can see nobody wants to be talking about the protocol in 6 months or a year. We all want to be celebrating the Belfast Good Friday Agreement in its anniversary. We want to be moving things forward and just getting on as friends. But in order to get there, we really do need to listen carefully to what all sides are saying and then try and navigate through very carefully. I think it has to be said that in the Trade and Cooperation Agreement, we have got a dispute resolution mechanism acceptable to all sides, and that's where I'd like to see us going.
The Taoiseach, in his speech to the British-Irish parliamentary body today, has been talking about how the Good Friday Agreement was built on compromise, and he's calling for all sides in this current dispute to show that spirit, to be willing to move. And we've seen concessions certainly by the European Union in relation to easing trade flows, and yet it also seems that every time there is a concession from Brussels, the United Kingdom is quite happy to bank it and then come back looking for more.
Well, of course, when these matters are discussed, that's the sort of thing both sides say about the other. But I'm very clear that we've all got to move, and that we've got to have those movements and those conversations in private. But what I've been trying to do is just make sure, and I've done it in private as well as in public, just try to make sure everybody understands where the pressures are going to come on any prime minister. But really what we need to do is avoid having negotiations in public and just get into technical talks and reach the most difficult issues towards the end. I think everybody's keen to solve them.
And sorry, when you talk about pressures on a prime minister, are you talking about the pressures that would come on whoever is the new British prime minister from Eurosceptics, such as yourself, if he was seen to go too far?
Well, I'm delighted to be a Northern Ireland office minister, and I'm going to be playing with an absolutely straight bat representing the position of the government. But there's no getting away from it. I've reflected in public some of the positions of my colleagues. And I hope your listeners won't mind if I say that as I've taken over this role, I've noticed almost a mirror between Brexit and some of the constitutional questions which are asked in Northern Ireland. People take extremely seriously the question of where power is located. And that's true of unionists, it's true of nationalists, it's true of Eurosceptic Conservative MPs. And I think in a desire to get out of the bind we're in, we all need to just take stock, listen to one another, and then get into technical negotiations which can reach a successful conclusion.
In relation to the political situation in Northern Ireland, the clock is ticking on this deadline of Thursday night, Friday morning, for there to be either an executive reformed, power sharing re-established, or the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland says that he will call an election, and quite possibly an election before Christmas. Now, given everything that's happening at Westminster, the new Prime Minister, presumably a new government, perhaps a cabinet reshuffle, does that timetable still apply?
That is the government's position that's been agreed, and it is a legal obligation to go for an election. It is the case that we would need to legislate to remove that obligation. And it's very difficult to see how that legislation could be passed before the end of the week, given the timetable of the House of Commons and everything else that's going on. So I'm afraid people do need to face up that there will be an election if the executive is not reformed. But I hope that people, unionists, and in particular the DUP, will hear what I and others have said about where we're trying to get to. And I really do wish they could not exactly trust us, but just accept that our influence, the influences on us, the set of incentives that we have, drive us towards a deal which is going to be acceptable to unionism. If they could just really rely on us going in that direction, then they could get back into the executive. We could avoid this election, and crucially, we could restore the devolved government, which is so important to Northern Ireland. People have got real problems, particularly on energy bills, on healthcare, and we all want to see those institutions up and running and functioning. And I just would really implore the DUP to get into the executive and get on.
But you are saying that an election will be called come Friday if power sharing isn't in place again, regardless of whether there's a new Secretary of State or whether you're in the Northern Ireland office. That you're saying will happen.
The settled policy of the government is that an election will be called. But your listeners and you and I all know that if there's a wide-ranging change of ministers to go with the prime minister, the policy could be changed. But equally, you know, it's one thing to be realistic about that. It's another, you know, the reality is that the settled policy of the government is what it is. And it is practically impossible to change the legislation by the end of the week. So I think people would be wise to expect there to be an election.
And just finally, Steve Baker, if I may, you were an early supporter in this latest leadership contest of Rishi Sunak. Would you be expecting, hoping to remain at the NIO?
I very much hope, after all of the investment that we've put into the relationships that we have, and your listeners will know some of the things that I've said, trying to improve the negotiating dynamic and the relationship, which seems to be working. I would very, very much like to find myself working for Chris Heaton-Harris in the Northern Ireland office next week. I think that Chris feels just the same, and I very much hope we'll be able to reap the rewards of the investment we've sown in improving relations. I mean, we need to get on as great friends with Ireland, and I think Chris and I would like to work together to that end.